Everyone, this is Natalie, also known as Starscast, with another awesome guest tonight. Wait till I tell you who she is, what kind of book she wrote. Anyways, as I always start the show, I want to remind everybody at mysticlivingtoday.com. You know, I've already sent out my reminders to all the authors and the poets, and I'm getting, I say this every week, but I've got so much information coming in that I don't even have to request. It's a beautiful thing, and I'm so proud, and the magazine has been up since 1999, so it is beautiful, and you should take a look at it. That's mysticlivingtoday.com. So if you have any articles to send me, poetry, excerpts from a book, I get so much of it, but I put it all in, and I take pride in doing it, and I love doing it, and I always ask that you send an image or some kind of a link, you know, back to your website or a credit or whatever. And I'll put it up, and it goes up on the 1st, so that'll be August 1st. And since this is really a big one, I'm probably going to take 2 days to do this one, so I'll start on the 30th of July, which is not too far away, but it's a good time for me. I mean, I don't do anything else. That's all I do. Oh, I multitask. You know, I'm going back and forth, but my focus is really on that. And then I want to tell you about my other site, which is Stars with a Z, psychics.com. We have a great special going on. We launched it after the show last week. As a matter of fact, on Thursday, it's one question for $5, and you post your question, and then you have a choice of all the readers that answer the question. You don't get to see the answer. You get to choose, though, and you get to look at their profile and see their picture, and we've had great success with it. And I really think that you're going to enjoy that. And this is not in place of a reading. This is in addition to, and oftentimes some of the regulars will think of a question last minute and they go and they post it, and that's fine, and it's open for everyone. And then we also have another one, another special, 10 minutes for $10, 15 minutes for $15, and 25 minutes for $25, and 20 minutes for $20. Excuse me, I'm making, and you know me, I always talk so fast because I want to say everything, and I should really slow down. But that's not Natalie. You know how Natalie is, because I get excited because I'm always happy about what I do and share. And I have beautiful readers over there waiting for you, and go there and see. The specials will stay up for quite a while. I'm not going to take them down, and that's what we've got going. Now, without further ado, I'm going to introduce my special guest for tonight. Her name is Tracy Altman, and she's the author of the book Special Pause. That's P-A-W-S. Now, everybody has a hint. We know what that's got to be about. And you're right. So, let me bring in Tracy. Tracy, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Tracy wrote this book about her first dog named Boston. And when she called in, we weren't on the air yet, I had her book in my hands, as I do with all the books that I get, and there's something on the back that I'm either going to have her read, if she's got the book in front of her, or I'm going to read it, because it's really beautiful. But it's called Special Pause, and it's got two dogs on the cover. One is Boston, and one is Hunter. And it's a story of these dogs, and it's a soft-covered book. And you think to yourself, well, it's only for kids. No, not really. It's not only for kids. It's for adults, because you're going to get something from it, and it's beautiful. So, Tracy, how did this book come to be? Tell us your story. Tell how this all began. Everybody wants to know.
It's
everybody's using it as a pet. I have a cat. You know, I have a cat. You have dogs. A lot of people have dogs. But they want to know, how did you come to write this book?
So when I turned 50, I had gone through a divorce, and my son at the time was 16 and said, Mom, I really want a dog. And I was like, okay, I've never had a dog growing up. I've never had pets growing up. So we asked a good friend of mine who works at a shelter to come over and kind of help us. And she told us that we needed to make a list. And I said, well, what does that mean? And she said, well, you need to think about what kind of activity dog do you want? One that has to be walked, one that has to run, do you have a big backyard? Do you want a baby dog that, you know, a puppy that you're going to have to train, or do you want an older dog? And we really kind of went through this list of great questions, and we brought them to the shelter, And the shelter basically said, okay, great. Like one dog, one, two, and three is great for you, but four, five, and six wouldn't be the right dog for you. So we bring home Boston. We have an amazing experience. I can't believe I never had a dog before. Fell madly in love. And as we looked for a second dog for Boston to have friends with, we kind of went back to the list. But then I kind of had this funny thing in my head, like I wonder what Hoppe's list is going to be. You know, is she going to want a crazy Bostonian who sings at the top of her lungs in the shower? Is she going to want a crazy family? Is she going to want Boston? And it just got me thinking about how funny it would be to kind of turn the tables and think about what a dog who's sitting in a rescue, what they're thinking about. And so at the ripe old age of 53, I said, I think this would make a really good children's book that parents could really, you know, get around, because the message is really good about these two dogs are in a shelter and one is helping the other come up with their list of the forever home that they want. I'm not going to give anything away, but it ends really sweet. And I had my teacher friends look at it and help me make it not just a great story and entertaining, but also make it educational. So they're the ones that said, you know, change the bone color, change where the ball is, so that when you're reading it to a child, a pre-K child, you can say, okay, where's the bone? And wait a minute, it wasn't purple on the other page. And put in just some little surprises that aren't necessarily called out in the copy, but that people can have fun with as reading it. And that just made it even a more fun experience to be able to learn that from all of these great people. And now I get to, at 53, I get to say that I'm an author. And this is book number one.
You certainly are. I'm going to tell people about this, the pages in here, because I think it's important. The numbers of the pages, she's got a paw print. It is the cutest thing you've ever seen, a little paw print. And sometimes she has a bone on one of the pages, different colors now, because, you know, bones can come in different colors. I mean, you know, the kind that you get and the dogs have. And she's got them on their little pads, you know, something really soft. But it is just like I tell everybody what I do is what attracts me to a book, and I do this with every book that I receive, and I receive a lot of them, I hold them. And it's really important what the cover is like and how they feel. Well, this is not a real thick book, so it won't take you long to read it. It's really quite simple, and it is available on Amazon, and I'll remind you of that fact later. Now, okay, so you wrote the book. You got it. Who published it? Did you publish it yourself?
I did. I worked with a publisher called Inspired Publishing here in Dallas, and she helped me go through the process. And you know, I didn't realize that, you know, the illustrator is different from the layout person, which is different from the person that develops your cover art. Like, I didn't know that was a specialty thing. So they really were wonderful in helping me, you know, get through the process, but also learn a lot about publishing. It was cool because I didn't have that experience before this.
Well, I think everybody needs to know that. I mean, you think about the books that are published and, you know, I mean, some of them for some major publishing houses, and I don't know. I like the little ones. I like, you know what I'm saying? I don't even go to those shelves. You see these big, thick books. And I mean, I have a lot of authors that I have interviewed and I've got lined up. But this is just the sweetest thing.
So now you
only have the two dogs, I take it, right? Have you added any more to your family?
Yeah, so far. No, not yet, but I do volunteer at the SPCA, and I have to tell you that's a miracle. I haven't taken a bunch of dogs home yet, but dogs will always be part of my life, and so whether it's fostering or we have a buddy program at the SPCA, which you can take a dog home from the shelter for the weekend just to get them out of that, you know, environment. So I will always do it. And then part of the I also started a nonprofit with this, so one of what's really on my heart is fundraising for people. So the goal of the book initially was to give it to shelters or people that do something towards helping any kind of animal, not just dogs, but to sell it to them at cost so that they can then sell it to their, you know, their base for profit. so that way they could kind of help with, because sometimes it's hard. I mean, I understand all the rules around, you know, how to give money and take money, and, you know, they're always needing something, because there's just, especially I'm Dallas based right now, and we're at 30% over capacity on all of our shelters right now. So it's a scary time.
So
we want people to get out there.
The foundation that you started, does it have a website yet, or are you working towards that?
Not yet. Yep, not yet. It's just special pause. We have a Facebook page, but we don't have a website or anything yet.
Okay, you do have a Facebook. That's good to know, everybody.
Yes.
Special pause.
Is that what
it's called, Tracy?
Yep, it is. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm going to be linking to that also. Now, are you on Instagram?
Not yet. We're only on Facebook.
Go there. I'll tell you why. I follow elephants and lions and everything. I mean, you could call me an activist, I guess, but I just love them. And I know the feeling for seeing a puppy. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I don't even go around puppies and kittens because I take them all home. There is just no doubt in my mind that I have a little mini farm here in my house. Because there's just something about them. And, you know, I'm going to share the story of how I got my cat. You're going to appreciate this. His name is Muji. And he thinks he's a lion. He's a Maine Coon, so he's big. And he just struts his stuff around the house, and everybody's going to laugh because they've heard this before. Well, I lost my last cat. His name was Tigger. And the gal at the vet's house, this is going to be something important to you, the gal at the vet, she called and she says, oh, I've got a kitten here with your name on it, because I told her, I am not going to seek out another pet. It will have to find me. Well, I went up there. She said, take it home for the weekend. You know, that's the big thing. Take it home for the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweetie pie. Well, he would sleep in my neck, and he just, you know, cats are like that. Especially Maine Coons, they always choose one person, and that's theirs. You're mine. So he's about 9 years old right now, in really good health, runs all over the place. And, yes, he does have an M on his forehead for monster. That's what Maine Coons are known for, the M on their forehead. But he's really funny, Tracy, because if somebody comes in, he looks at them, he sits there, kind of gives them this look, doesn't hiss at them all the time, sometimes, as if to say, don't take your shoes off, don't get comfy, you're not staying. This is my mom, this is my house. And that's exactly what he's saying to them, because he's so domineering. His personality is so strong, and I belong to him. That's the deal. Just don't get too comfy here. He's really funny though.
Isn't that great?
Follows me around.
That's kind of love.
Oh yeah, but dogs. I think puppies, and of course eventually dogs. They are a little bit easier to get along with. I mean, they have this much easier temperament. Cats can be really funny. They can just be solo. They can just be, I don't want to bother with you. I don't care who you are. But he certainly cares who I am, and He I thought he got out the other day, and Tracy, this is no joke, and you'll probably relate to this. I thought he got out of the garage. Well, I started looking at Colin because he's never been out. I was petrified. I sat on my back porch, and I cried because I kept saying he's not going to be able to make it out here. He doesn't have his front claws. He's never been out like this. We have an alligator in our lagoon, and I said, he's not going to stand a chance. Well, I'm sitting there, and everybody knows Natalie doesn't cry, she sobs. So I was really upset. Well, I look over at my door wall, and there he is standing on his hind legs. Here I am, Mom. He found a hiding spot. I think he went in the back, inside my couch, in the back. You know, there's a flap of material. I think he crawled behind there because I could not find him. I looked up. I looked around everywhere in the house. I called my son. I said, he's gone. He said, oh, he's not gone. But I was so upset. So for those out there that have pets, you know, I just make sure your doors are closed behind you, but mine was. But, you know, they can sneak out. Just protect them. Just really protect them. But that was a good story, and that just happened this week, so I wanted to share that with you. So,
Of course.
So you've only got the two dogs right now. But it sounds to me like you're going to have some additions, huh?
I think so. I just can't, you know, those faces. Oh, they know me.
just don't go around the puppies. you'll have an armful by the time you walk out. You will want them all. And when I, you know, when I got my kitten, he was the first kitten I ever had. When I walked into the vets, I didn't even look at the cage where the other ones were. She says, "Oh," she says, "we have other ones." I said, "I don't want to see other ones." And she laughed. She says, "Because you'll want them all." I said, "Exactly. I want them all, and I really can't do that, you know." But they're the sweetest thing. Animals can make you feel so good. And what you do with them, Tracy, you know, you donate your time. You're doing this thing for them, this foundation for them is so beautiful. Tell me, I have a question. I have some questions, just a few questions that I want to ask you, and then I'll let you can chime in here. Tell our listeners that what that first moment was like when you set your eyes on Boston. Did he go right to your heart? Oh. Did you feel him right there?
Yeah, you know, we had three dogs, so we were sitting in the shelter, and they brought the first dog, and it peed all over my son. And so he was like, "I don't like this dog, Mom." I'm like, "Well, he's just excited." And then the second dog was really, really bashful, still super cute. But Boston came right in. My son was sitting kind of Indian style, so my son came in, and Boston came in and just sat right in his lap. And we both looked at each other, and I said, "All right, let's see." And then when Boston curls up, her spot makes a heart. And the minute we saw the heart, I said, "Zach, this is our dog." And we never looked back.
Oh, how Boston's sweet.
And yeah, part of it, part of our – and I put in the book the heart. I don't call it out in the copy, but there's a picture of Boston all wrapped up, and you can see that it's a heart. So that was like a fun little extra thing for the reader.
I like hidden things like that. I like, you know what I'm saying? I like things that you
exactly.
Unless it's pointed out, and you've got pictures of Boston and Hunter in the back. How sweet! Look at those sweet faces. Oh my gosh! How sweet! They are so sweet, and they look
like
they're really cuddly. Are they?
Yes, they are. Oh my gosh! Yes.
You know, my fear, I mean, you've already got two. My fear with bringing another pet in is that, of course, the way my Muzzy is, I don't think he'd be too happy.
Yep, I have a lot
my
of friends
said,
like that.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I said, no, I think he would probably kill a kitten. I think he would grab it and throw it against the wall.
Oh,
but
you've
got to remember his temperament. This is not your mother. This is mine. She belongs to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he would relay that, and that cat would be petrified of my cat. And he's a good-sized cat. But, I don't want to do that. Usually dogs get along with a few of them. I mean, their temperament is just different.
It really is. And they now are best of buds. I mean, it took a little while for Boston to figure it out. But they eat together. They sleep together. They play together. So I'm really happy that we got – everyone had told us if you get a second one, it's so good for them. Because, you know, dogs are pack animals. But let me tell you, for our family, it was the best thing.
Well, you know, I mean, I see a lot of, let's see, she's got two dogs next door. A lady on the other side of me has one dog. But I watch the two of them next door, and they're really good together. One is really big, and the other one is not quite so big. And they're buddies. They're just buddies, that's all. And
and Hoppa will have her book next time. So that's what the joke is that Boston says to Hoppa, "Hey, listen, I have a book, you don't. But the next book will be the two of them." So
well, that's one of my questions. Is there another book in there somewhere now that Boston and Harper have their forever family? So you just said you've got another one you're gonna do, right?
Yeah, we're gonna do the second one. We're just finished. So Special Paws will be the series. And the next one is about foster care. And so Boston meets Hoppa in a dog park, which is true. And they talk about, you know, what it's like to be in foster care. And then we see if maybe Hoppa wants to join our family. So I love it because both books have, you know, some truth in them. Even though they're fun kids books, there's still a lot of truth in how the story got written and told.
Well, you could do a real series on all of this, actually.
Yeah.
You can carry this through
really
with just the first two dogs and all the encounters and what they do and trouble that they get into. And
yeah,
and
exactly.
I can see it as being even a cartoon, to tell you the truth. I can see it being on a screen, and you know, then you know, kids love to see stuff like this. They really like, and really, truthfully, Tracy, we need more of books like what you've written. We need more of those out there. We need people to feel good, and when they look at a picture, when they hold the book, I know everything is online and.
Yeah,
it's not all it's cracked up to be. I mean, you ought to see the books I have. You have no idea. I've been doing this since 1999. I have books in the attic. I have books in shelves. I have lots and lots of books, and I like to hold them. I like to just have them in my hands. I mean, that's just how I am.
I agree.
I don't know.
Well, it's funny.
But that's really
it's
good. Now, I want to ask you another question.
Uh-huh.
What are the items on a dog's wish list for a family? If you were to talk to somebody, what things would be really good for them to have that the dog would love to have would be on their wish list? A nice place to sleep.
Yeah, a nice place to sleep. And I think they really want, you know, they love a backyard. And it doesn't have to be a big backyard. But they just love being outside. They're natural explorers. They love, you know, figuring out what's going on. So I think some kind of backyard. They definitely love toys. We have a lot of toys in this house that I step on every single day, and I curse and say, oh, why do we have so many toys? But then they love them. They just love figuring them out. They love playing. They love, with my two, do a lot of, you know, back and forth with the rope. And people, you know, they want affection. I really believe, I mean, I see it all the time at the shelter is the dogs are being moved from one place to another as we clean up. And I always take time when I, you know, bring them out to, they sit in a crate outside while we clean the inside. And when I bring them back in, I always take an extra couple minutes just to kind of, you know, to play with their ears and to give them and scratch their bellies. And you know, we're all, even dogs are just like humans. We all crave some kind of human touch. And I have found that, you know, the dogs just kind of light up when you're, you know, petting on them and loving on them. And I think music is another thing.
When you're helping
dogs
out,
love music.
What's it like walking around and watching all these little dogs, all the pets, that maybe some of them have not been chosen? Does that make you feel sad?
Yeah. When I come in, I serve on Fridays and Mondays. It's hard. And on Fridays, I always say goodbye to everybody and say, I hope I don't see you guys on Monday because I'm hoping the weekend would be a good thing. But, you know, I come in on Monday and I always tell people is, you know, cleaning the crates and doing the laundry for the dog. I don't think of it as a chore like I do at home. I do it because it's a little – it's a little thing that I can do to help those dogs feel a little better, you know? And so I love them. We had a bunch of puppies a couple weeks ago. And just like you said, I would never want to have a puppy because there's a lot of work. But, oh, my gosh, were they adorable. And they all got, you know, they all immediately got adopted. And we were like, but wait, there's so many other great dogs that we have right now that may not be puppy cute, but are totally wonderful dogs.
How many of the older dogs get taken. I'm hoping. And you have background on them. You tell where they came from, right? And information.
Oh yeah.
You know why were they given? There's another question. Not on my sheet, but why are they brought to shelters? What are the reasons that people turn them in? Why?
You know, everything from a family. Like we had just had a lady lose her husband. And he was really the one that took care of these big, big huskies. So when he passed, she just really couldn't take care of them anymore. We had somebody a couple weeks ago whose their son came to live with them, one of the sons of the couple, and he was allergic to the dog. I mean, just could not stop sneezing. Some people just don't have the money anymore. You know, dogs are not cheap. No animal is. So, you know, we have a real plethora. The cases I can't stand are the ones where, you know, we have found the neglect. And neglect is, Hoppa was a great example. She was found tied to a tree in the middle of nowhere. And I just don't understand that. I don't understand why the person just didn't let her go, like, or just drop her off at a shelter versus being so cruel. Yeah. So
my daughter-in-law
rescued,
she does bulldogs. And the dog she's got now was tied to a tree so long that it embedded the chain in its neck.
Oh,
now,
God.
I mean, that's appalling to me. That
yeah.
I mean, you know, that is appalling. I mean, she still rescues them. That's how she kept this last one, of course. But I don't know how can people do that. How can they just
I don't
do
want
to
ever meet
them?
That person. Yeah.
No. Oh no. Me either. And you know, I'm. You know, first thing I would say.
And I don't have that
bone
in my body. Yeah. Right. But still, yeah.
There is no excuse good enough unless, I mean, even if I ran out of money, I couldn't pay for the food. Well, take the dog someplace. There are shelters.
Exactly.
Go online. Ask your friends if they would like to take the dog for a while till you get back on your feet. Do something. Don't do this.
Yes. Yeah, or go to family and friends and ask if they'll take the dog. That's what we always say to people. When they drop them off and if they surrender. I mean, you know, any kind of surrender is an awful experience. We don't want people feeling bad. We want it to be a safe place. But we certainly say to them, you know, is there a family member or friend that you think, you know, that the dog would love?
Right.
And, you know, when dogs come back from being adopted, it just breaks my heart because I can't imagine their confusion, right? Because they're in this environment that while it's clean and safe, it's certainly a scary environment for dogs, and there's lots of noise and it's loud. And then them going home to a home and then coming back, I just breaks my heart for the dog.
So when they come back like that, Tracy, is it just oftentimes because somebody was allergic to the dog or, I mean, don't
the
take the dog
in
the first place if you can't keep it.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes people have unrealistic expectations of, you know, dogs, just like people, need time to adjust. So if you think you're going to be, you know, the Brady Bunch the minute you bring the dog home, that's a very unrealistic expectation. And I think, you know, a lot of shelters do a great job trying to say to people, listen, you're going to need like 4 to 6 weeks for the dog to find their spots, you know, for the dog to kind of figure out where they are and what the rules are, just like anybody else. So, you know, we try to remind people of that. And, you know, you never know. They might not get along with a child in the – so there's legitimate reasons to bring dogs back. It still breaks your heart, though.
Right, and the main thing is bring the animal back. Don't just dump it someplace. Don't do that.
No, oh, gosh,
I mean, you can hear in my voice, don't do that.
Yes,
just don't do it.
Just,
you know, that's one of, I always say it's like one of God's children, but it's one of God's. It's this beautiful creature that you decided, and I'm giving a lecture, I shouldn't do that. You decided to bring this puppy home, and now you don't want the puppy, so take the puppy or the dog back to where you got it from. Don't just let it off on the side of the road. Don't do that.
Yep.
If I find out, I'm looking for
Amen.
You. If I know who you are.
I'm telling you.
Don't do that. That's like a no-no. That is just, these little helpless, even cats, I mean, a lot of people will do that, you know. I mean, I could never. I mean, look at me sobbing on my porch because I couldn't find my cat.
Yeah.
And there he is.
Yep,
yeah,
I know.
Mom.
Yep,
I mean,
exactly.
I was looking up and down the street. I had the neighbor looking, and I was just so worried because he doesn't go outside. And we have an alligator here in the lagoon. I mean, it's a man-made thing, but they come walking in from the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm only 10 minutes from the ocean, but they come, you know, pitter-patter over here, and they decide to make their home on our banks. And I thought I could only, you know, think to myself, now, you know, Muzzy's going to go up and try to be really friendly, and then he's going to be gone. So, I mean, I had my son coming over. Oh, my God, mother.
Oh, goodness
I'm
gracious.
Sure he's in the house. Well, I still, to this day, Tracy, I do not know where he hides, except it's the only place I can think of. Because, cats will go up. They'll go up high. Or they'll crawl into something. I think he's going behind my couch in the back, behind that flap of material. But I can't move the couch because it's too heavy. But I could see you know, I was pounding the back with a fly swatter. Lucy, are you here? He was just being obstinate.
Oh, God.
That's what he was doing. And when he came out, I said, you know, that wasn't very nice what you just did to your mom. It wasn't very nice at all. You had mom all upset. but you know,
oh, I talked
I mean,
to them.
We treat them like they're one of our own. We really do. We talk to them. Sometimes we talk baby talk to them. And you know, you learn if you can have a pet, they have just the greatest comfort to you if you just show them a little bit of love, and they'll give it back to you 100 times. They really, really will.
100,000 million gazillion times.
Yeah, they really, really do. I'm seeing if there's any. Oh, I know. Here's another one. How has having pets changed your outlook? A lot, right?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, they are just the reason I come home at night is for them. The reason I get up 30 minutes early, and I'm a girl that loves her sleep, but I get up 30 minutes earlier just so I can play with them and talk to them and talk about what our day is going to be like. They just make me,
so
me optimistic. They make me happy. Yeah, I love these dogs.
Yeah.
I love these dogs
a lot. Yeah, I can tell. I can hear it in your voice. And it's, you know, and there are a lot of places that you can get, I think, probably springtime, early summer for kittens, I think, is the time, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're born even in the fall,
right,
aren't they? And puppies can be, I think, any time. But kittens are a little different. I don't think there's a I think
we've
it's more
seasonal
for kittens. I might be wrong, but I think so. Let's see. I got Muggy was in
right
April.
Now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of kittens right now in the shelters.
Now, do they, so what, do families come in with their kids, or what's it like when they walk through that door? I mean, obviously, they're looking for a pet, or, oh, I want to see this one, I want to hold this one, or whatever. Is that what they do?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then I always try to grab a parent if I'm there and tell them that the cute ones aren't necessarily the right ones for your family, so you want to make sure that, again, I tell them to make the list, just like the woman that told us to do it. You know, it's a really good exercise to say, are you guys going to walk it, or are you just going to let it sit? Because if you are, then you have to not get such an active dog. And,
you
know, you want
them
to fit into your lifestyle. Exactly, exactly.
Big
dogs
have to be
walked. So, you know, it's all about educating people. Yep, absolutely.
It is.
They have, energy. There's so much energy.
Kittens are a little easier, except, you know, if it's a kitten, you can say, now they're going to shed. It's a long hair or short hair. It doesn't matter. They shed. You've got to – that's a factor.
Right.
What else? I can tell you a lot about cats. We could have a cat and a dog show. they just give you so much love. I think more so dogs than cats. I mean, cats can be aloof. Don't bother me right now. I'm sleeping. But you know, like if Muji's laying on his side, and you know, I'm careful when I approach. Because they startle easily, and you have to be careful, even though he knows my voice. But I think more so with cats than dogs. I mean, dogs, especially if you had them for a while, and puppies, oh, my gosh. You'll come in, and their little tails will be wagging away, and they'll be so happy to see you, and even the dogs will do that. I'm telling you, this is like one of the easiest friends to have in your life, because they always forgive you. They're always loving to you. You know, we were talking about my one dog I had, but for the most part, they're always really loving and happy to see you, and they'll follow you around and make a pest of themselves. Yeah, but it's just their way of showing I'm so happy you're here, and that's what you have to know when you have a pet like that. You know, now with my, I can tell you, I can only tell you from a cat, but when I went away a couple of days, and my neighbor came in on and looked in on him and fed him, right? Well, he does this. He hides. Nobody gets to see him while I'm gone, probably behind the couch, in the couch. But so, and when I come in, this is no joke. My son will come in with me, and he'll kind of like walk the perimeter, make sure nobody's in the house waiting for me. Anyways, okay, I'll see you tomorrow.
Gosh.
Okay, bye. So as soon as he closes that door and the garage door closes, Tracy, that cat comes flying out. Mom's home. It is the greatest feeling in the world.
It absolutely is.
It is. And he follows me everywhere and rubs against me, and he's talking, and, you know, just to say, well, finally you're home. Where have you been? It's a lot of nerve. You left me with her. but yeah, and if you go away, make sure they're taken care of well.
Yep.
You know, if you want to keep them in the home, make sure who is ever coming in the home knows about them. They like them, and the pets like them. And like I said, it is a little easier with a cat because they'll just hide. They only come out for food, and then they run and hide again. But dogs are a little bit different, you know. And so you have to watch that kind of stuff. What else can we tell them, Tracy? There's so much. You have all the experience with working with so many animals.
Yeah.
And now tell me, get to a kitten. Now, when somebody gets a kitten, do they usually take one at a time? Has anybody come in and said, no, I'll take two of them?
I've never seen two. But that doesn't mean it's not happening. It just doesn't happen on my shift. But we do have a couple of dogs that were surrendered together that we want them to be home together because they've been together for such a long period of time. So I don't know if we have any cats at least in the one I do, but I love when they come in together because then they've got somebody, you know, which is really cool.
My girlfriend has two of them. The reason she's got the second one, it's the first dog's brother. So she went back and got the brother. So she rescued them because they weren't at like, you know, a PetSmart or anything like that or a shelter. Somebody couldn't handle them. I guess they were at a shelter. I can't. No. They were at a PetSmart or Petco, and she went in, and I don't think the brother was there, or she didn't see the brother, or she may have just thought, oh gosh, I don't want two of them, because she's got three dogs at home, right? So here she is.
Oh,
I go over there, and I said, well, where did these two come from? Well, here they are, the two of them. And they're brothers, and they're so sweet. She said, I didn't have the heart to leave the other brother there. Isn't that something?
Oh, I love that. It says a lot about who she is.
I know. She said, so I went back and got the other one. So funny, huh?
Oh, I love that.
But, you know, there's a lot of things. Pets can teach you a lot of things. They can really teach you how to love and how to appreciate something and how to receive
mm-hmm.
love. They really can. They're just the best gift that you can have. I can't say enough
mm-hmm.
about it.
Oh, I agree.
And see, I didn't want to get a dog here because you can have a fence, but my front yard is much bigger than my backyard. It's like a pie shape. And because of the lagoon, I just didn't want a dog running all over the place. And there are no fences in the vicinity of where I live. You can have them, but you have to get permission. And I just thought, nah, I'm not going to do that. Plus, you know, the last experience that I had with a dog was not all that wonderful. And so, although I'm very respectful of them, but that's why I went, you know, I had two cats when I first moved here. And then of course, when the one passed away, my Tigger, then I got Muzzy. And I've got just him now. So they're just a wonderful. They make you feel so good. They're the best thing to see in the morning. You wake up and they're all frisky and happy. And okay, Mom, come on, give me my food. I'm ready. My cat runs out to the kitchen. He goes flying. Okay, good. It's time. This is good. I can tell when he's thinking.
That's true.
You know, you watch them. Watch them. And you can tell.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, with dogs, they wag their tails. If their tail goes down, not too good. Cats, I can tell you that if their tail is straight up, they're happy, happy campers, very, very happy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If their tail goes down and their ears look like airplanes, you know, got that funny back, you better run because that cat's going to attack. Or if he crouches down, he's going to come after you. Even if he's playing, that's his way. Muzzy will do that to me. Do you know what my cat does? He hides on me sometimes and jumps out at me.
Oh, gosh.
Just to scare
me. So funny.
Oh, he's a tripping head.
Well, he's playing
and
with
if
you.
If you do something, you know, if it's an accident, like say you stepped on his little paw or something, he comes at you. Like, you think I'm going to let you get away with that? Oh, no. He does that. He retaliates. I mean, that's the kind of personality he's got. He's very lion oriented. It's like, I'm the boss. Back away. Move out of my way.
Oh,
I'm coming through.
That's
and that's what
funny.
He is. Oh. And dogs will get like that, but I don't think like as bad as cats. I mean, your two dogs, they don't sound like, they just sound like
mm-hmm.
they are just the most wonderful thing and not a mean
oh,
bone in their body.
No,
how old
they're
are they?
Fun. They're really fun.
How
Boston's
old are they now?
Three and Hop is one. Boston's three
oh.
and Hop is one. So they, yeah,
well,
they're
the 1 year old
together.
Is still a puppy, really. I mean,
They can get into everything. So is a three year old, too. They can chew your shoes.
I remember those days. Right? Put everything up.
Yep, absolutely.
Or lock it up. Because if it's they're going to find it if it's there, and they're going to gnaw on it. And you're going to be upset when you come home because they ruined. I had my first dog ruined one pair of shoes. Well, it was a brand new pair. It was a sandal. And he only chewed the one. She only chewed the one. So, you know, oh, well, I had to throw them away, right? Brand new pair.
Yep, exactly.
But,
oh, goodness, sorry.
But she was a puppy. And that's what puppies do. You
that's
know.
True. That's right. Yep, exactly.
You know, now, I have another question. Housebreaking. Do you know a lot about that? Can you tell our listeners about if they have a...
I don't. I mean, I don't have, because both of the dogs when I got ours were both potty trained and everything. It was
okay.
just really getting used to a different place. So, you know, we had a couple accidents, but we were really lucky that one, Boston really, you know, settled in very quickly, and then when we got Hoppe, Boston really trained Hoppe for us. So, you know, Hoppe only had maybe one accident, but could because Boston would go out and she would follow, and oh, Boston's going to the bathroom, and I'm going to go to the bathroom. So it was really wonderful to have that, you know, that older dog, you know. So that's really all I know about housebreaking, because we're really lucky, actually.
Yeah, I think with puppies. I mean, you can paper train them, but the best thing is to get them to go outside.
Yep.
I mean, now I'm thinking about Sandy. That's the last dog that I had. I mean, she wouldn't get her paws wet. We lived in Michigan. If it snowed, oh, forget it. I'm not going out there. I'm not getting my feet wet.
Right.
But she's the one that had the attitude. She had a personality disorder. I'm certain of it. She was what you would never have known when we got her as a puppy. She was just this loving, you know, but then she turned into a monster. you know, it's just getting used to the surroundings. And now they have all kinds of ways that you can train puppies. Of course, cats go in litter boxes, so you don't have to worry about that. But puppies are a little bit harder to take care of because they require a lot of attention. So anybody out there thinking about getting a puppy, lots of attention. You have to, you know, you can't, you can crate them. I mean, I think a lot of them now they can be crated, and they will never go where they're sleeping, so they'll hold it. And a lot of people, that's how they train their puppies, I think, don't they? Have you heard that before?
Yeah. Yeah, we are, both of mine are crate trained. It's really good for them because they have stability. They know, you know, everything I've read says that it's actually good for a dog to be crate trained. So, you know, it's really up to what's
right.
good for you and your family and your dog.
Right, right. So they sleep at night in their crates?
Mine don't. They sleep with me in a king size bed.
There you go.
They dominate, and I have a little corner.
Yeah,
but I put them
but
in
like
crate
if you go
with,
away
with
for
go
the
out.
Day or something, do you put them in their crate?
I do. They're not, they still are skittish because they're still young. So I like to put them in the crate. They sleep. And then when I come back, I let them out and there's no, they love it. So, you know, I don't keep them in there long, but I certainly use it as a place of safety for them and for the house when I'm not home.
But they're not really that big. I see their pictures. They're not super big dogs, right?
Well, they're both 50 pounds. Well, now mine are 50. The one in the book, Hunter is not mine, but Boston is mine. And they're both named after, they're both real dogs, as you know, from the back of the book.
Right.
But yeah, my dogs are about 50 pounds each. So they're good size.
Yeah.
But they're runners.
Oh, they are good
to play, that's for sure. Yeah.
Do you have a fenced in yard for them? Is that what you do?
Oh, of course. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. You have to. Yeah.
You wrote something on the back of your book. Now, do you have the book? Can you read it for us, or you want me to do
I
it?
I do, sure. No, no, I'd love to.
Read it. Read
it's a bark out from the author.
Our listeners are, it's a bark out from the author, which, of course, is Tracy Altman. And it's on the back of the book, and I read it, and it just made me feel so good. So if you read that for us, that would be awesome.
Yes, I would love to. I never, ever had a dog until I was grown up. Then my heart was stolen away by this cute little pup. We named her Boston after the city we love the most. Her spots were dark brown, and her ears make the perfect post. She licks us a lot, and her tail wags very fast. She jumps really high, and walking her is a blast. She taught us about love and how easy it is to just have fun in life, whether it's family or biz. Dogs in shelters need a special kind of love. They are watched over by doggy angels from above. Thinking about fostering and giving them a home, a temporary place for them to play and roam. Or go to a shelter today and add one to your tribe. Your heart will be happy, unlike anything you can describe.
Isn't that beautiful? I mean, it is beautiful. It really is.
Thank
just,
you.
And it's true.
Thank you.
Every bit of it is true.
Yeah.
And if you want to get the book, it's called Special Paws by Tracy Altman. You can get it at Amazon. And when you go to a shelter, go to Petco, PetSmart, a shelter, you know, look at them. Choose one. If some people want an adult dog or an adult cat. Some people want kittens or puppies, whatever. But just know that you don't just take them home and dump them. You have to take care of them. You have,
mm-hmm.
They'll show you love, and you have to show them love. And this
mm-hmm.
is just coming from me as a pet owner. I can tell you that. Even when your day is not really going good, just go sit beside them. I meditate with my cat. Well, he meditates
mm-hmm.
with me, I think. I meditate, and there he is on the edge of the couch. I mean, he just knows, okay, this is mom's time, and I'm going to be beside her. But you'd be surprised how good they can make you feel. Even if you have had a bad day and you spend time with them when you come home, and let's face it, we all have bad days. There are days that just don't go perfect, and those are lessons to be learned and things that we have to go through. That's okay. But remember, that little animal doesn't know. All they know is you're coming home to love them and to take good care of them and change their water often. If I don't change Mushy's water, he sits by it and looks at it. Well, aren't you going to change this? I mean, he's really very intelligent.
That's
if he could talk, he would. I mean, and he does
That's
in his
great.
Own way. But, I mean, you have to understand that. So if you meditate, you can have your animal. If you're lucky, I don't even have to pick him up. He just automatically comes and sits beside me because he knows it's mom's time to just be really quiet. And he just lays there with me. He's really sweet. I mean, he does things sometimes that, I mean, he's never chewed anything or anything like that, but sometimes you'll get pets that are not really, they're not meant to be a pet for you. Just recognize that right away. Just knowing when you go to a shelter or a Petco or PetSmart, just kind of get a feel for them. And you can hold them, can't you, when you're there, Tracy? They let you hold them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
You know, so if they're a puppy or a kitten, you know, it's not a walk in the park. I mean, it's going to take effort for you as a pet owner. You're going to have to teach them things, and especially if they're little babies. And I call all animals little boopies. So when I'm on Instagram, I have so many people already. What in the world is a boopie? I said, to me, that's a baby elephant. I love giraffes too. Baby giraffe, and you know, when they're born, they're 6 feet tall. But, I love all of them. And so now some people are calling, oh, yeah, Natalie calls them boopies. I guess I got to call them boopies. And so that's what I do. That's what I told you. You should go on Instagram. Let me know if you do.
Yep. I will. I will definitely let you know.
I'll follow you. And you'll get so many people. Just all you do, it's easy. You take pictures. You post them from your camera. It's just the best. It really, really is. And there's many animal lovers out there. You do that. You have a cell phone that takes pictures?
Oh, of course. Yep. I have a lot of pictures, that's for sure.
Okay. So you do that. You go create an account. You do that through your cell phone. You can find the app on the Google app.
I will do that.
Do that. And what I am on there is Stars with a Z Psychics. But you'll see my picture there. And my name is there, Natalie Sist. But you'll see Stars Psychics, and that's me. And you'll see all these groups. I mean, elephant groups and lions and
hysterical.
Silverbacks and cats and kittens and just everything. There's so many animal lovers
there.
Thank
you so
much. They will appreciate what you've done. And also what they will do, Tracy, is if, and I may do this for you with your permission, I'll take a picture of your cover of your book and put it on my Instagram.
Thank you. Tell them
where they can get the book. Yeah. They're all going to want to see this because I'm telling you, there's just, you know, there's a lot of famous people on there, infamous people. I mean, you know, it's really, I do that more so than Facebook. I don't do Facebook. I have a gal, and she's in my chat room right now. Her name is Candy Ranson. She does all the stuff for me, you know, promoting. She promoted you. She does Twitter. I do Instagram. I really like that. I don't know why.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll definitely get on there, and I will let you know.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
What I'm going to do is I will. Well, you have my email address because you and I have corresponded. Okay.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
I have yours because a lot of times I go through a publicist and I don't get the author's email address. Sometimes I do. Sometimes they'll want to be in touch with me or whatever, which is really great, and we'll do that.
Yep.
But I will post this for you, the picture.
Thank you so much. You've been wonderful.
I appreciate it. And really, and I might even take a picture of one of the little paw prints and put that in it because it would be so sweet, right? Now, all the
others
are thinking, how come she doesn't do this for me? Well, you know, what I tried to do a long time ago was anybody that went in the magazine, in the e-zine, I would post something in Instagram. And then I sat back and I thought, you can't possibly do all of these. Plus, I do all the pages. Yeah. I do all the pictures. I edit it myself. I do it all myself. And I'm thinking, how are you going to do this? Take pictures of everything and put it in Instagram. Well, I can't do that. You know, I have recording artists and their albums are, you know, they still do CDs, not albums, CDs. And they're beautiful, beautiful covers. Sometimes I do that, not that often anymore because it's so time consuming to do that. But I'm going to do that. I'll probably do that tonight. I'll put it in
Thank
for you.
Thank you. You are so sweet.
So,
it's
and
wonderful.
So what you need to
Thank
do is
you
create
so
your
much.
Account. And I'll send
I will
you,
do that.
I'll tell you where to look for me. And just follow me, and I'll see that you're followed. You have to give yourself a name. I don't know if you want to call it Special Paws. You could do that. I'm kind of helping you create this thing. You can call it Special Paws, or you can go under your own name. What?
That's great. I said I will definitely get it done, I promise, and I will let you know. I want you to be my first follower.
You better, because I'm going to send you an email, and I'm going to say, okay, where is your Instagram. Well, it's a nice way to make everybody feel good, and I follow just about anything that's, you know, I mean, there isn't. It's very rare to find something that's not in good taste, but any of the pets and the babies that they have, and I just love that. I mean, they all have a special place in my heart. They really, really do. All right, so I will do that for you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And if you write another
book, I really appreciate it.
Well, not if you do.
I'm going to write another book.
When
you
get it done and it's published, you email me and we'll have you back on again.
I will. You're so sweet. I will absolutely do that. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Oh, good night, and I love you, Tracy. And as I always end the show, and I know my regulars are listening, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. Good night. See you next week. Bye-bye.